First Bible reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 13, from verses 1 to 18. That's on page 16 of the Pew Bibles. Genesis chapter 13, from verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and to the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. The next Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 8 to 16, which is on page 1715 in the Pew Bible. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
Well, friends, let's turn back in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13, because that's going to be our focus this morning, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we stop now to think about your word and think about our own lives, I pray that you will enable each of us to hear what you say in your word. Give us hearts to respond and grab a hold of the good things that you speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1960, a group of researchers started an experiment on some four-year-old children. What they did is they put a marshmallow on a plate in front of each child. And they said to these children, "Okay, you got a choice. You can either eat this right now, or you can wait 15 minutes and then you get to eat two marshmallows." And they waited to see what the children would choose, and they recorded what happened. And then 40 years later, they went back And they contacted the children who had been part of this experiment to see how they were going in life. And did you know that it turned out that the children who were willing to wait 15 minutes for a marshmallow turned out to be less likely to be addicted to drugs, more successful in relationships, more successful in work, and in handling stress. And so the ability to wait, the ability to delay the gratification of your desires is a valuable skill for life. And as our passage today teaches us, it's also a part of the life of faith. This morning we're going to think about God's message to us in Genesis chapter 13. And in particular, we're going to think about how the gospel, part of the gospel, is a message of delayed gratification. In particular, I want to point out three things from this passage. I want to point out how Abram put peace ahead of his privileges. I want to contrast Abram and Lot. And then I want us to see how is it that Abram was able to live the way he did and focus on the long term rather than the short term. Now, do you remember the previous chapter that we looked at? It was a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, we read about how Abram went down into Egypt. Do you remember that? And he let his actions be guided by fear rather than faith. And, well, it didn't all go so well. I think Abram comes back from Egypt humbled, realizing that he's been taking the wrong path. I think Abram comes out of Egypt realizing that, wow, God's been merciful. God got me out of a situation in a far better state to what I deserved. And so have a look in our chapter at verse 3. It says, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. And what's important about Bethel? Well, it's the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. So Abram's coming back from Egypt. He's humbled and he wants to go back to the last place where he had called on God's name. It's interesting. In the previous chapter, when Abram was in Egypt, there was no mention of God speaking to Abram or of Abram speaking to God. And so I think he realizes it's time for me to reconnect. And so he goes to a place where he can focus on prayer and worship. But before long, the quietness of this place is interrupted by arguments between Abram's workers and the workers that belong to his nephew, Lot. And we've got to imagine that this is quite a big group of people. I mean, there's a mention in the next chapter that, oh, by the way, Abram has more than 300 male employees. So, like, when you think there's Abram's workers and there's Lot's workers and then they're looking after cows and sheep and goats and like that's a lot. That's thousands of animals that they're looking after and only limited grass to eat. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever been in a share house where everybody's trying to use the same washing machine. Everybody's lining up for the same stovetop. There's one hot water system for eight people to try and get a shower with. And so you can imagine the household meetings where the issue gets raised again. Hang on, is it Team Abram or Team Lot's turn to wipe down the kitchen tables? So what does Abram do? He seeks peace. Have a look at verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me. Or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, something really important to understand. So you've got Abram and Lot. Who's the senior man here? Who's the senior man? Abram is. Abram's the uncle. Lot's the nephew. And especially in that culture, the senior man has right of way. So Abram could have chosen the best land for himself and just expected for Lot to fit in and go somewhere and find something for himself. Abram could have done it that way, but he didn't. Here Abram gives up his right to first place. And why is he doing that? Because he values peace ahead of his privileges. It's interesting that the theologian John Calvin wrote about this story, and he pointed out that ambition and a desire for victory is the mother of all arguments. Isn't that true? And just think about an argument you've had with someone, like an argument where it got really heated. In that moment, wasn't it all about winning? Wasn't it all about I must get my own way? But friends, life isn't a competition. And just think what a difference it would make in our world today if people were willing to choose peace ahead of privileges. How many families get ripped apart because of squabbles over inheritance? How many whole countries? I mean, it's impossible to read this without thinking about, you know, the big thing that's been on our TV this week. Israel and Palestine. And okay, clearly Israel and Palestine, there's a very complicated history. What's going on there is a bit more intense than what's going on here. But still, can you just imagine? Just imagine if there was a bit more of Abram and his attitude right at this moment. Just imagine if there was a willingness from everyone involved to pursue peaceful coexistence rather than scrapping and fighting for everything that you consider to be your right. And so the first application for us this morning is, you know, we don't have to always fight for our rights. We don't have to always insist on getting what's ours. There is a time to let go of our rights for the sake of peace. Some of you might say, yeah, but what if I'm getting bullied? Or should I just let myself? Well, this chapter's not about bullying. In fact, come back next week. Next week we might get to that question. But there's so many situations in life where it's just better to seek peace than to demand and insist that I must get what I deserve. Let's get back to our story. Let's contrast Abram with Lot. Lot looks around. Lot looks at there's this hot, rocky, hilly country that they're in now. And then he looks down into the valley and he sees the river. And I haven't been to Israel, but if it's as good as the land near the river in Egypt, like it says here, then it's green and lush and cool and beautiful. And there's cities there. And so if your business is cows and sheep and goats and camels, then you've got a market right on your doorstep. And so Lot goes and sets up his tent near the city of Sodom. And we've got a few hints in this passage that it's actually not going to be the best choice in the long term. I mean, it may be a good decision for his business, but if you know what's coming next, it's actually going to be a disastrous decision for his family. Lot is a believer. It's not as if living next to the river is wrong. It's just that in this chapter, there are certain things that Lot is looking at, and there are certain things that Lot is not taking into account. Lot is making his choice based on sight alone rather than faith. Lot is weighing up the things you can see, like water and grass and customers. But he's not thinking through the spiritual dangers. Lot's grabbing, there's a marshmallow in front of me, I will take it, but he's not considering what the costs might be later on. So here's another application for us. When you've got important life decisions to make, like where am I going to live, think carefully, what is it that I'm weighing up? Because it's easy to just count things like Australian governments tend to do, just to count dollars and distance and demographics. And it's wise to consider all of those things. But also, aren't there other important things in life, things that are not so easy to touch or see or measure? Things like relationships, things like gospel opportunities. So, I mean, we're in our mission month at the moment. Just have a think about our missionaries that our church supports. How is it that they got where they are now? Because many of them have moved away from Melbourne, the livable city, and they've gone to places which are less livable. Like, you think, why? What? What's the logic of that? Well, isn't that the logic of spiritual opportunity? Isn't that the logic that says, here's an open door to bring the message of Christ? Because there are things in this life that I can't see or touch or measure, but they're things of eternal consequence. There are spiritual opportunities. There's a heavenly country that we're looking forward to and that we can call others into. And so that's the logic of mission. Okay, so we've thought about Lot and what Lot saw and didn't see. Let's get back to Abram and how he viewed things. How is it that, okay, Abram was a peacemaker, but how was he able to be like that? How was he able to say, you know what, I don't mind, you choose first? Well, God reminds him. Verse 14, God says, Abram, see all this land? Just look around you. As far as you can see, it's going to be yours. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Now, Abram, he already knows this. This is the second time that God said this. In the previous chapter, God also told him this. But here's the interesting thing. In Abram's lifetime, he's going to camp in the land, walk around, travel through the land, but he's never going to build a house. He's never going to hold the title to any part of the land. Well, actually, not quite true. He does end up buying a cave, like a place to be buried in. But that's, you know, he's not there until he's dead. So can you see that Abram's story is a life of waiting for future gratification, not instant gratification? As it says in the New Testament, people like Abram, they didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Having this promise was a powerful thing for Abram, because God's promise made a difference to the way that Abram lived. Can you see that it was the hope he had that enabled him to be a peacemaker? It was the security that he had, knowing that one day in the future, God's going to give me all of this. And so I don't have to be anxious. I can be easygoing in the present. But the result of receiving this promise from God is that Abram doesn't think, I've got to get the best part of the land now while I have the chance. No, instead, he's content to camp. And where does he camp? Verse 18. He camps in a place of worship. He camps and he builds an altar to the Lord. And so, application. Can you see that it's the same for us? If we are sure of God's love, if we are sure that God is actually on our side, if we are sure that Christ's finished work in his death and resurrection guarantees us something, if we're sure of that, if we're sure that we have a promise that one day in Christ we will inherit all things, if we're sure of that, then we don't have to hold so tight onto whatever's right in front of us today. Faith in God's promises frees us from having to take the instant thing. Faith in God's promises enables us to be content to wait for the better things that are yet to come. I mean, it's this strange thing that you'll live best in this country if you set your hopes on the heavenly country. You'll actually live a better life in this country if you set your hopes on the heavenly country. And brothers and sisters, there's a principle at work in this story. There's a principle this principle is actually fundamental to the gospel. Because, okay, if this is a story about Abram refuses a land grab, instead he waits for God to give it to him. We might call that principle the principle of delayed gratification. We might describe it even better using some famous words that Jesus spoke. Do you remember how Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek"? Meek. What does meek mean? Meek means to be gentle. It means to resist the urge to always compete and defeat. That's a bit like Abram in this chapter. But do you remember the rest of the sentence? This is what Jesus said. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And that's what this chapter's about. Abraham's faith gave him a meekness, and it's meek Abram rather than ambitious Lot who's going to inherit the land. There's something attractive about Abram's approach, isn't there? Something about Abram's approach that we just wish there was a bit more of it in our world today. And if we find this part of Abram's character attractive, then we should remember that nobody demonstrated this approach to things more clearly and more consistently, because Abraham was a bit up and down and inconsistent, but nobody demonstrated this more consistently than Jesus himself, because Jesus was born to be king, born to own everything. But he refused to grab that kingdom for himself. Instead, Jesus came, and the scriptures say he came and preached peace, even though sometimes he had no place to lay his head. And it was only after completing his life mission, after he gave himself for our sin on the cross, that God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. So we could say, "Blessed is Jesus, for he inherits the earth." And so do his people with him. Friends, we serve the Prince of Peace. Jesus is that altar that we want to camp next to every day of our lives. Wherever God takes you in life, stay close to Him. Hang on to Him, because in Him we have a great inheritance. And if you're hanging on to Him, then you can hang on to the present things around you a little bit more lightly. Hang on to Jesus. He will teach you to be a peacemaker. And He promises you a sure hope of a heavenly country. Amen. Let's pray.